Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. All right. We would like to welcome everyone tonight to this series of presentations that we'll have over the next couple of evenings. And in our presentations, we want to answer two questions that have been frequently asked over the past few months. And these questions are, is the Holy Bible truly the Word of God? And is the man Jesus Christ the promised Messiah? And to answer these questions, first we need to know a little bit about the Bible. And the Holy Bible, referred to as the Holy Scriptures, was written by 40 different men over a period of 1,500 years. However, to find out who the true author is, we need to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. So let's all turn to this verse. And if you have any trouble finding it, please look at your neighbor's Bible. And it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So we can see that this book, the Holy Bible, is not just a collection of stories from 40 different men, but it is a book that really tells us what is on God's heart and what is on God's mind. And these holy men were moved and instructed by the Holy Spirit to write what God wanted them to write.
Yeah.
And this is also reiterated in another verse, which we would also read, which is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
Okay. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
So, in place of the phrase given by inspiration of God, other translations say that the Scripture is the breath of God, meaning to say that when God breathed it, He breathed it into these holy men of God, and He is the real author of everything that is written in the Scriptures.
Amen.
So, what is it that God wants to speak to man in His Holy Scriptures? To find out, let's read another verse. It's in Luke 24,
verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me."
So,
45 as well?
Sure.
And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures.
Amen. Yes, so we all need to have our understanding opened, that we might comprehend the Scriptures. So we can see from the previous verse that the entire Old Testament, it speaks concerning Jesus Christ and what He will do.
Amen.
Right. And in John 5:46, the Lord even says, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me,
right,
for he wrote about me."
Amen.
So the first five books in the Holy Bible, which refers to the books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, not only speak about the laws and the history of the Israelites or the Jewish people, but they speak about Christ.
Amen.
So, of course, when many people read the Old Testament, they don't see anything that's applicable to them. They only see the Bible stories or a historical account of the Israelites. But it's clear that from what we just read, that all these things were written in the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Christ.
Amen.
I just want to emphasize that point again.
Amen.
All these things he needed, and all the things that he needed to do to fulfill God's purpose.
Right.
So, who is this Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? To see this, we need to turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24.
Seven weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy.
This verse tells us who Christ is and what he will achieve. And he will come to finish transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness.
Right.
So if you consider the situation in the world we know today, all you need to do is turn on the news or just look at the alerts from the news apps on your phone, and you will see all kinds of terrible things happening in the world. We're being bombarded by all kinds of terrible events. We have shootings in the major cities. We have social unrest, acts of terrorism, conflicts and wars all around the world. There is no peace because there is no righteousness in man's government. And it's the result is what we see today. It's not a pretty picture. What is the cause of all of these terrible things? We need to realize that the root cause of all of these things is sin.
Amen.
And sin is the root cause of all of mankind's problems today. So we need to ask, who is able to solve all of the problems that we're faced with in this world? Can the next president of the United States, maybe? Or can the top religious leaders solve these problems? What about you and me? Definitely not. No one is qualified or capable of solving all the problems of this world because we cannot, by ourselves, address the problem of sin. And according to Daniel chapter 9, only one man, the Christ, can solve this problem of sin. And through that, he can solve the problems of man.
Right.
For this man to be qualified to be the Christ, he has to fulfill every scripture and every prophecy that is written in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures. If he were even to be off by one day or go to the wrong place one time, he would immediately be disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophecies concerning the Messiah, we need to realize, are very, very specific, even down to the exact day and the place. So one of the most compelling prophecies that we want to look at is the prophecy that tells us when the Christ, the promised Messiah, would appear on this earth. And for this, let's read the verse in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times.
So this verse tells us when the prophecy begins and when the Messiah will actually appear in Jerusalem and be proclaimed as the King of the Jews. There was no other time when this happened. And the start date is shown in the phrase, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. This is the start date. So when did the proclamation go out to build and restore Jerusalem? According to history, during Daniel's time, when that book was written, Israel was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Years later, King Artaxerxes of Persia issued the decree to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And to see this, we need to go to Nehemiah chapter 2. And let's read verse 1.
And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before.
So I just want to pay attention to the first part of that verse. It says, in the month of Nisan. In the 20th year reign of King Artaxerxes.
Yes.
That is the date when the decree was sent out. And you can, if you want to know more, you can read further on in Nehemiah. It tells the whole story. When you cross-reference this date that is given in the Bible, it corresponds directly with March 5th. 444 B.C., right. And the end date, we also need to know the end date, when the Messiah appears in Jerusalem, where the people declare him to be the King of the Jews, is March 30th, 33 AD. That was the only day, as I said before, that when Christ arrived in Jerusalem and he was proclaimed the King of the Jews. And this is stated in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Let's also read this one together.
The next day, a great multitude had come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.
Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written,
Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.
Right. And then when we look at John chapter 12 and Luke 3, there's another instance where this is spoken of. It confirms the end date of when Christ will appear in Jerusalem. But for the sake of time, we won't get into the details now. So going back to Daniel chapter 9, it says, in the verse it says, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is a total of 69 weeks. Now we need to realize that these weeks are not referring to weeks as we know them, 7 days, but it refers to 7 years.
Yes.
So 1 week is equal to 7 years. Oops. Thus, we need to calculate it out, and 69 weeks that we have here, if you multiply that by the 7 years, you will get 483
years. Yes.
And another thing we need to realize is that these years are referring to prophetic years, which according to the Jewish calendar are 360 days, as opposed to the 365.25 days that we are used to in the Gregorian calendar. So one prophetic year, I will call it PY, is 360 days. All right. And if we calculate the 483 times the 360 days, we will ultimately get the total of 173,880 days. So that is the exact amount of days between March 5th, 444 BC, and March 30th, 33 AD. So it is the length of time between the decree of rebuilding Jerusalem and the time when Messiah the Prince appeared in Jerusalem. And we need to see that only one man has done this, and it is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the promised Messiah, and the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, shows one major qualification to the man who is the promised Messiah. Now, this was one prophecy, but there is another qualification that the Messiah must fulfill, and it is how he came into Jerusalem. So let's turn to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Sounds familiar.
Yes. Now, do you recall that the verse we read in John?
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12 was speaking exactly this, and that is exactly what happened. So Christ fulfilled that prophecy exactly to that point. And this qualifies him to be the Messiah. Now, there are many other prophecies that concern Christ, and Jesus fulfilled each and every one of them. And unfortunately, we don't have time to go through every single one of them. But I want to mention one more qualification that is required for the promised Messiah, and it is his birthplace, which, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, let's read this one together.
Micah
chapter 5, verse 2.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting.
Amen.
So Bethlehem is the birthplace of the Messiah. How many of us were able to determine exactly where we were going to be born? It's impossible. We weren't there yet. And However, for Christ, it was predetermined and he fulfilled it. Yeah. And let's see. Yeah. In Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. This is the confirming verse. Into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, this was written in Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament. So even though Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth in Galilee, God arranged that there would be a census. So they had to go to Bethlehem to be registered because they were of the lineage of David. And while they were there, Jesus was born, and thus it fulfilled the prophecy that we just read in Micah. And what more do I need to say? But as we can see, God went to such great lengths to document Christ's first coming in the scriptures and to fulfill all of the prophecies through his son for one purpose. Mm-hmm. He wants to save you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ as the Messiah is now waiting to become our Savior today. And he only asks that you believe in him, to receive him as your Savior, and to be baptized into him, as it's stated in many verses. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us in John 16:8-9 that the greatest sin is the sin of unbelief. The Bible made it abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, your Savior, as we saw from all of these prophecies that were fulfilled. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved.
Amen.
For any of us that have not yet received Christ today, do not delay, but take this gift of eternal life that was given through Jesus Christ, your Messiah and your Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
There's one more thing I should add in terms of what Vince brought out. It's quite impressive. You know, Vince spent a little bit of time to share with us and to tell us regarding the matter of the Bible being the Word of God. And it's very important to realize, you know, today this is a hotly debated discussion. You know, how do we know if the Bible is the Word of God? And how do we know that this man, Jesus, is really the Christ, the promised Messiah? And, you know, when you go about considering this, yes, one way is to go check in history books and things like that. But in all of our, in all of us looking at different things of history, history is always constantly being discovered or recorded. And so you can't really always rely on history to confirm this or to answer this question. And it's always very good that Vince brought out, let's come back to the scripture, because the scripture itself will be able to reveal to us really that this has to be, this holy scripture, the Bible, must be the Word of God. What other book in the that has been written in mankind writes about the coming of the Christ in such detail? And then at the same time, Jesus Christ being the Son of God, coming down to this earth, then fulfilling every last detail concerning what qualifies him to be the Christ and what he needs to do on this earth to accomplish God's purpose. I think this should be impressed upon us tonight. And especially tonight is to see that this man was uniquely qualified to be the Christ, to be the promised Messiah. And, you know, as Vince went through the prophecy there in Daniel chapter 9, this is the 70-week prophecy, and it speaks about the coming of the Christ. And what Vince spoke about was the coming of the Christ the first time, where he came onto this earth and he appeared in Jerusalem as the Prince. And so Vince gave us the start time and the end time. And he also showed us the time gap that was between the decree that went out until the time Messiah actually appeared on the earth. And it was good that he brought out. It's 173,880 days. Now, this tells you how many days were between these 2 days. But if you really want to validate that, then it's good to do the calculation and work it out. On this end, with the calendar, does it really add up to 473,880 days? 173,880 days. Mm-hmm. And so this is also good to see because we need to then, if you want to confirm that, if you go from March 5th, 444 BC, and you go to March 5th, 33 AD, how many days is that? Now, because we have to do the calculation, it's now we're using the Gregorian calendar, so that's 365 days, 0.24213. Okay, that's the average amount of days in a given calendar year. Okay, but then between March 5th, 444 BC, to March 5th, 33 AD, this gives you actually 476 years. Okay, not 477 because there is no year zero. So if you have 476 years here and you multiply that through, what you get is 173,855 days. So for those of you who have smartphones and you have calculators and you do them all, the math, that's what you're going to get. Now, from March 5th to March 30th, that's another 25 days. And if you add up the extra 25 days, what do you get? 173,880 days exact. Not one day early, not one day late. You have to realize the prophecy in Daniel was almost 500 years before the appearance of Christ in Jerusalem. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll notice that every time it came up regarding Jerusalem, he would say, "My time has not yet come." It's because he has to come on that appointed day where he actually came into Jerusalem. And he didn't just come in to Jerusalem like a king with a white horse, golden chariot. No, he came in on a donkey. Why? Because he needed to fulfill the scripture. This was the prophecy. This was written concerning him. And so all of this is just a few compelling prophecies to really show us in terms of that this man, Jesus Christ, indeed is qualified to be the Messiah. No other. You and I can, myself, you, anybody in this world cannot be qualified to be the Messiah because, number one, we were not all born in Bethlehem. And even if you were born in Bethlehem, would you appear in Jerusalem on that particular day to be proclaimed the King of the Jews? Right? So there are many things that were written concerning Christ. This is why when you go back to the verses that Vince had us read at the beginning in Luke 24:44, and you go back to John chapter 5, it speaks, he says, the scripture, the books of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, all write concerning me. So this is really what God's intention is. When you see the scripture, we realize that it is all about the coming of Christ. And then what is it that he's going to do? And this is why this prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 is good. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And this is concerning the first coming of Christ, Jesus Christ, when he came. His intention to come in his first coming was not to rule over the earth as the king of the Jews. His intention was firstly to save man. And this is his first coming. That's why, you know, as we read in Daniel, it says he wants to put an end to transgression, put an end to sin. He wants to bring reconciliation of the iniquity. Well, that can only be accomplished by Christ, because he has to be firstly qualified to be the Messiah, the anointed one chosen by God. But he came in his first coming to save man. And this is why it was good at the end, as Vince brought out, to realize that this man, Jesus Christ, he wants you and I to be saved. Why? It was brought up. What is our condition today? The condition today is man is still filled with sin. Everything that we see today of this world is a result of sin. Each one of us have been born of sin. That's why in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the wages of sin, in Romans 6, says the wages of sin is death. So this is our problem. We all have this problem. Who can solve it? Who can solve it? Maybe you might take a seminar in self-improvement. Will that solve the problem? It might make you, you know, outwardly behave properly, but deep within your heart, the root of the problem still remains, this problem of sin. And this is why God had to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. This is the promised Messiah. Why did he send his Son, Jesus Christ? Because he was the only one who lived on this earth with a sinless life. And because he was living a sinless life when he was crucified, it was his innocent blood that was shed. And that innocent blood became your ransom. It paid off our ransom, the debt that we owe because of sin. And today, he resurrected and he became the Spirit, because he is now waiting to save us, asking us first that we would first confess to him, Jesus Christ. We confess, we ask the Lord, "Lord, we need you as our Savior to forgive us our sins, and then more importantly, then to come into us as the Spirit, that we can be born of God, that we can enter into his kingdom." Right? And this is what the Messiah did in his first coming. But tonight we wanted to show everyone in a very simple yet very clear way that the Bible definitely is the Word of God. Only God could do this. Only God can write it, and it was only God who can fulfill it. And that this man, Jesus, is indeed the Christ, the promised Messiah, because he was the one who was qualified and will fulfill all that God has set out for him to do. And so tonight we wanted to see specifically what is required to be qualified. And tomorrow we'll also spend more time to see how Christ fulfilled all of what God desired and all of God's purpose. And again, it was laid out in the scripture. All the things that he were to do and what he will do for us, and then also to see how he has fulfilled it. Not only for his first coming to save man, but also in his second coming to bring in God's kingdom onto this earth. So this is what we presented tonight. We hope it's very clear. We didn't want to take so much time because we, after we close the meeting, it'll give you opportunity to talk and to ask questions. As Vin said, not everything could be explained tonight in the presentation, but we do have time after the meeting where we can actually spend more time to ask questions and have more fellowship. So with this, maybe we can still sing Psalm 343 again, and then we'll close the meeting.
Amen.
Every time I read this portion of the Bible in Daniel chapter 9, it touches my heart very much. The Word of God is very clear concerning Christ's coming, especially in His first coming. It says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And then it says here to seal up vision and prophecy. The word seal up means you fulfill it, finish it. And then to anoint the most holy, which is the Lord Himself. No need of that, thank you. It doesn't matter. I'm just sharing my feeling in these verses, which are really very important, because here, 600 some years before the Lord Jesus came, Daniel prophesied concerning what the Lord will do when He comes. Right. This is amazing, because nobody dares to write prophecy like this, because if it's not fulfilled, then you're found to be a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, so to write prophecy is something very risky.
Yeah.
If you really don't know what you're saying, right? But here, these prophecies are fully fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross, He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He put an end to transgression and put an end to sin and make reconciliation between us and God through His death on the cross. We were all reconciled to God.
Amen.
Freed from judgment. Otherwise, who is going to reconcile us to God?
Right.
So, here it says, to make reconciliation for our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. And then to fulfill the vision and the prophecy.
Right.
So many prophecies. For example, Isaiah chapter 7, concerning a virgin shall give birth to a child. It talks about a virgin birth of Christ in Isaiah. Over 700 years before the Lord was born, it talks about Mary, a virgin, giving birth to this wonderful Messiah. Who can fulfill this? And that is why Matthew chapter 1 says, the conception is through the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
That is why Christ is called the Holy One, the One without sin. Right? And most wonderful thing is not only the date of His birth, it was given so clearly when. There has never been a person in this whole time in the history of mankind a book written hundreds of years before you were born. Somebody write a book when Samuel Wang is going to be born.
I'm not the Messiah.
You're not the Messiah. Right? Nobody wrote about the birth of anybody prophesying hundreds of years before it happened.
Yeah. Right.
Even what his name should be.
Yeah.
Isaiah says his name shall be called Emmanuel.
Yes.
God with us. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And then here, it's not only when he was born, the exact date of his being anointed as the Holy One, because that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, is the only time when the Jews confessed that he is the king.
Yeah.
Never before.
And after.
And never after.
Yeah. Right.
But you should realize that this happened about 6 days in this, before the Lord was crucified. Mm-hmm. He entered into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right.
Behold, your king cometh riding on a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
The colt of a donkey, a baby donkey. It was literally fulfilled. How did Daniel know 600 some years that the Messiah is going to ride on the colt of a donkey into Jerusalem? You tell me. Right? He didn't ride on a Mercedes or BMW. But he came as a lowly king because he humbled himself. Not even a mature donkey, it's a baby donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. And he was proclaimed king. The only time he was proclaimed king. It's really amazing. And most amazing is, and after or at the end of the 62 weeks, meaning to say, 5 days later, after March 30, he was cut off.
Mm-hmm.
That means he was killed.
Yeah.
Mm. The Messiah was crucified, killed. It says here, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, because he is without sin. But he died for us, not for himself.
Yeah.
He really didn't need to die. But he came to die for us.
Amen.
He was cut off.
Yeah.
Not for himself. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
And even more amazing is, after the Lord Jesus was cut off and crucified on the cross, of course he rose again and ascended, then the prophecy continued to say, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. This is fulfilled in the year 70. Because the Jews denied and crucified the Lord, shed the blood of the innocent Christ. So in the year 70, the prince, the Roman prince Titus, came and destroyed the holy city, Jerusalem, in a very terrible way.
Yeah.
And the whole nation was wiped out of the map. This was fulfilled in the year 70. Right.
Yeah.
And the Lord did say, before that generation ends in year 33, because the Lord was crucified. And a generation is 40 years according to the Bible. Before the 40 years end in year 70, Prince Titus came and destroyed the whole city of Jerusalem. If you read the Jewish historian Josephus, it was a terrible, terrible war. Who can write such a prophecy in such an accurate way? Concerning the coming of the Messiah and what happened, what he accomplished, when he entered into the city as king, and a few days later, exactly in the day of Passover, he was crucified. Cut off, not for himself, but for the iniquity of his people. And then, before that generation end, Titus came and wiped out the city, the holy city. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
It's really, really amazing. Right. In fact, the book of Daniel was one of the most amazing book concerning prophecies, not only concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but concerning the whole political development from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until today. In a very accurate way. Right. So, may the Lord really open our mind to help us to comprehend.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That this book is indeed the inspired word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Because otherwise no one could have given such prophecies so accurately. Because God wants to make sure that we all will know who this Messiah was.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Our brother mentioned Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says that the Lord, the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem. Right. Where were you born?
In Wiesbaden, Germany.
In Wiesbaden, Germany. Disqualified. Right? If somebody says he's the Messiah, he has to be born at that date, at that time, and he has to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Where are you born?
I was born in Taiwan.
In Taiwan. Yeah. Disqualified. And how old are you? You were not born in 33. Or I would say in the year 1 or 1 BC, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
No. You have to be born exactly in the year 1 BC. And you have to ride on a donkey in Jerusalem in March 30, 33 AD.
Right.
And 5 days later, you have to be crucified and died and be cut off. And you have to be without sin. Impossible.
Yes. Born of a virgin.
Born of a virgin. Is your mother, when you were born, a virgin? No. No. But all of these were written in the Bible.
Amen.
And, like our brother shared, many, many more.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus was died exactly on the day of the Passover. Not one day earlier, not one day later. Because he is the reality of the Passover lamb. No wonder the Lord says all the prophets speak concerning him.
Yeah.
Or spoke concerning him.
Yes.
Right. Too many.
Yeah.
The whole scriptures. It's really wonderful.
Amen.
God wants to make sure that we are clear
yeah.
who is the Messiah.
Amen.
And what he will do and accomplish when he comes.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Thank
yeah.
you for sharing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.